thanks to our sponsor, Nintex. If you could score an extra hour or two back in your day, wouldn't you take it? Because our friends at Nintex want to give you a gift, the gift of time. Seriously, if you haven't checked out what Nintex has to offer lately, you should. The platform built on Azure has evolved a lot. In just the past few months, the Nintex team has added new process mapping capabilities and most recently a new e-sign capability called Nintex Sign, powered by Adobe Sign. Nintex also continues to revolutionize products that you know and trust, including Nintex Workflow and Forms. With the power of Nintex, it is faster and easier for you to configure, not code, giving you valuable time back every day to spend it how you want. Test drive the Nintex Process Cloud at Nintex.com.
This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 345. Today, we sit down to talk about the latest in Microsoft Teams development with Victor Whelan and Paul Schaeflein, recorded live January the 30th, 2020.
This episode is brought to you by AvePoint. A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. But does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery from individual items to entire sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com. Back to the show.
Hello, everybody. This is Andrew. I'm flying solo without my trusty co-host, Chris Johnson. This week, we wanted to explore what the latest state is on Microsoft Teams development and building custom apps for Microsoft Teams. I pulled aside two people who I know have got a lot of experience in developing custom Teams solutions. That's Victor Whelan and Paul Schaeflein, both our fellow MVPs. And we just happened to be together this week in Redmond for an unrelated event at the Microsoft campus. But we sat down and wanted to talk, get some of their opinions and perspectives on what Microsoft Teams development is all about. What are their favorite parts? What are the parts they're looking forward to the most? What the latest stuff is that Microsoft has released? And then just kind of talk a little bit about the future, about different things. Like specifically, we dig in with Victor Whelan and we talk about the future of the Yo Teams generator that we use to build Microsoft Teams-based solutions if we're choosing to use something like Visual Studio Code or Node.js. So without further ado, let's dive into the show.
This episode is sponsored by ShareGate. For those of us familiar with ShareGate, we know that they've always been all about SharePoint and Office 365 migration. But now that we've moved to the cloud, like me, you're probably thinking about how to scale your Office 365 to a full self-service environment without worrying about the thousands of groups and teams popping up out of nowhere, aka sprawl. That's where the folks at ShareGate developed ShareGate Apricot. It's a solution that helps us automate our Office 365 group governance by allowing us to collaborate with users to keep everyone accountable for the things that they create. Their super simple to use in-app experience lets us lighten our load by delegating group management responsibilities to users that we trust, aka no more sprawl. Want to get your hands on ShareGate Apricot? Try it for free for 30 days at ShareGate.com/cloudshow. This podcast is brought to you by Raygun. Raygun provides full stack, error, crash, and performance monitoring for tech teams. Whether you're a software engineer looking to diagnose and resolve issues with greater speed and accuracy, a product manager drowning in bug reports, or you're just concerned you're losing customers due to poor quality online experiences, Raygun can provide you with the answers. Get full stack error and performance monitoring in one place. The next time that you're struggling to replicate errors and performance issues in your code base, think Raygun. Head over to raygun.com and get up and running within minutes and dramatically improve the online experience of your users. And now, back to the show.
This is Andrew. I'm sitting here in Redmond. I actually run into two friends of mine, Victor Whelan and Paul Schaeflein. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
I'm doing well, thanks.
We happen to all be here just here in an event that we're dealing, that we're both participating in, or all three of us are participating in. I wanted to grab you guys for a minute and talk a little bit about the state of like Teams dev, or just get your thoughts on it. Because I know you guys have a lot of experience doing Teams development, which we'll kind of talk about a little bit. It's not really Teams development, but it's all like Teams related development. It's probably a better way to say it. And since the last time we talked to somebody on the show about this, it's been a while, so a lot of stuff has changed. Figured you guys be two great people to jump in and talk about it. But before we get into that, why don't you guys introduce yourselves first to our listeners, for people who may not know who you are?
Sure. Hi, I'm Victor Villén from Stockholm, Sweden. So I traveled quite far to get here to Redmond for these 2 days. But I work for Avanade, so a global innovation lead for modern workplace. 10 times SharePoint MVP and been specializing in teams development for the last few years.
I'm Paul Schaeflein. I am a technical architect at Edin365, working on our product, which uses Teams quite a bit, and been around in the SharePoint space forever. And you can also hear me on a related podcast in case you don't get enough of my wonderful voice. So thanks again for having me.
You got to at least introduce your podcast. I was going to ask you about that too.
The Microsoft 365 Developer Podcast that I co-host with Jeremy Thake, where we cover a lot of stuff coming out of the machine here in Redmond. So, but this time I get to give more opinions, so it's kind of nice.
Yeah, well, let's be clear too. You're also carrying the weight of that podcast. So let's see if you guys do that enough to me where it's like, I don't know if HD listens to it. Well, let's see if Jeremy listens to ours. So one of the things I wanted to sit down with you guys, the last time, as I talked, I think it was Richard DeZerga from Microsoft is the last person we talked to about doing Teams dev. And when we did that interview, I hadn't done anything with Teams, so I didn't really know what I was talking about, or I really didn't participate much in the conversation. Richard really just drove the conversation with us. But thankfully, in the last 6 months or so, I've actually been doing a lot more stuff with it. So now I can speak intelligently, or at least I feel like I can speak intelligently about this stuff with you guys. I'm curious what you feel, what you're like, it's kind of an open-ended question, but what's your general feel of this, like the state of Teams development? Like, do you like where it is? Do you like where it's going? Is there stuff that you're looking forward to? Just what's your take on it? I don't know which one of you guys wants to go first and just kind of
start quickly. My thoughts on this is, I think it's a great platform to start with to actually build applications and have them integrated into that Teams context. The thing I'm struggling with, and I think a lot of my clients as well are struggling with, is that they are still on the adoption curve of Microsoft Teams and using it out of the box. And many of them actually are still migrating from Skype. So for Teams development, I think that's the biggest hurdle right now, that they haven't adopted Teams properly. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, building your Teams extensions or extending Teams can actually help that kind of adoption curve as well. Mm-hmm. So it's catch 2-2 there. But the biggest hurdle to actually building Teams applications are that they haven't gone 100% into Teams yet. Mm. That's how I see it with my clients and some of them at least.
Gosh, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I would build on that a little bit to say that the value that you're going to get out of a Teams-based development is that you have a group of humans who are doing something and they need information to do that job. So if you can bring that information to their team, whether it's a tab or integrating the conversation or whatever the case may be, that's where you're going to get the benefit. It's preventing that context switch between seven screens to do what my job is. Just give me the information right there. And so that's where I find Teams development can be of tremendous benefit, because you find out what these folks need and then bring it to them where they're at. So in theory, they have Teams open, I can pop up an alert or respond to a question. So that's an exciting bit that I find here. And again, as Victor was saying, you've got to have humans there to interact with it for it to work. And so there's still that whole adoption curve, which is in varying stages, as you expect in a newish product.
I like the way you said that too, Paul, because that's one of the things that I guess my involvement with working with on Teams dev is part a little bit of play, but part I'm also building some training content for Microsoft around specific things. So I'm learning about parts of Teams that they tell me I need to write about or I need to learn about, right? So, or I'm learning more about them. I knew what they were, but I'm like trying to push all the edges of them. And one of the things that has kind of occurred to me is that there's different ideas for things that I can build for my business. What I like about it is that I don't have to go build the entire like UX to an application or anything. It's just, there's just pieces that I need. I need to be able to interact with people like through a help desk kind of style. I need to get more information about this user, but it's in five different, or this customer, but it's in five different systems. It's in my customer management system, it's in an email system, it's in like these two other places. Being able to like build something that can go reach out to all those and show them to me. And you could say that, well, yeah, you could do that same thing in SharePoint, like custom SharePoint dev, but like the idea of notifications and looping somebody else in, it makes it a little bit harder to do that in other platforms. And that's, I guess it's one of the nice things is that all the little knobs and sliders, whatever kind of stuff that all the tools are giving me inside of Teams, it makes it easier to work with. Another thing we were talking about just a second ago too, that I find it really interesting. And I remember one of the people from Microsoft mentioned this to me, and it didn't really hit me until I did it a lot more. But when you're doing Teams dev, you're really not doing Teams dev, right? I mean, it's that there's no real Teams tech that you're doing. You talked a little bit about this a few minutes ago too, Victor.
Yeah, exactly. So Teams development, I would say that's a combination of a lot of different kind of technologies. We have everything from tabs being just an HTML page. Mm-hmm. So full stack developer or whatever you want to call it nowadays. and we have the bot framework. A lot of things are done through the bot framework. You need to be a bot developer, and that's Node.js or C Sharp, mm-hmm. essentially. So, and the Teams application, that's just in JSON with pointers to other applications, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's also, if you just take a look at the App Studio, that's in native into Microsoft Teams, how you, according to the Teams team, build applications. But that's just a manifest editor of that JSON file mm-hmm. that points you to different kind of registration portals, et cetera, where you register bots and applications right. and Azure AD applications. So being a Teams developer, yeah, that's being normal full-stack developer or a bot developer, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's being more like an integration dev in a sense, yeah.
Yeah, and so the key thing there is your end user has logged into Teams, they don't want to log in again. So you need to understand how to do the single sign-on or same sign-on stuff that the Teams gives you and then integrate with Azure Active Directory and the bot framework. Mm-hmm. So really, those are the touch points, is making sure that you can make a seamless experience. And then once you get that connection going, that, as Victor said, it's just a little bit of API code on the server side or web development in the tab and you're good to go.
Yeah, and the Teams SDK is fairly slim. Mm-hmm. So you learn that in 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. You get reference to your Teams. The only thing I think specifically we talk about tabs is if you want to build something that's integrated into Teams, make sure to take advantage of the Teams UI so you understand how that, so you don't create a completely different user experience. You want to be in the transition should be seamless, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we say with, like, in the SharePoint side too. Use the same UI. We're all three devs here, right? So the last thing you want to do is build something and have to go retrain your users. If you use the same UI, it's like, well, no, they already know how to use it. And if they don't, well, it's not really my problem. I wasn't the blocker to that.
And that's one of the rough spots in my view is the UI, because the Teams had a UI library, then they went to a different library, and the Office 365 suite has gone in a different one. So I'm sure they'll get there, but state of the state, if you will, it's a little bit of a rough spot there, I think.
Yeah, that's something I know, Victor, you and I have talked a lot about that too, where they had the Teams components that you could use their own UI, and then you could tell they were starting to switch away from that, and they went to another one called Stardust.
Stardust, yes.
And then the Office UI Fabric team, or Fluent UI team, they got involved. They seem to have taken that Stardust. No, so correct me if I'm wrong here. They took Stardust, and then they renamed Stardust, and then they kind of shut down the repo because they're like, well, we're doing a lot of work here to kind of unify everything, but we're not ready yet. But they kind of like, anybody who was using it, they kind of just chopped them off of the knees for a little bit. And then out of the blue, it just kind of came back.
Exactly, that's Fluent UI. And then there's also the Stardust, which now is Fluent UI, also have another, I think it's an origin called Semantic UI.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit messed there, as you say, Paul. Yeah. I think they're doing it in the right direction. I like the way they've done Stardust or Fluent UI. It's mm-hmm. it's compared to Office UI Fabric. Office UI Fabric is very much focused on the components, mm-hmm. whereas Fluent UI is more... It's more that semantic description of what you're trying to do. So I like that kind of approach. You have much more flexibility if you want to build your custom UI, but still inherit that kind of look and feel and way of working.
With a very themable approach as well. Absolutely. So it makes it incredibly easy to go from like the light mode to the dark mode mm-hmm. to the high contrast mode, jumping between them without doing any changes yep. to your UX. You just, as long as you're using what they provide you, you're going to get all that stuff right out of the box. So let me ask you guys, I mean, you work for Avanade, so I know you do a lot of stuff for your customers. You work for Add-in 365 or do a lot of work for Add-in 365, and you guys leverage Teams a lot as well. What kinds of things are you guys building that you're integrating into Teams? I know you can't share probably specific things with what your customers are doing, but talk about like the general types of applications if you can, or at least what are like are you building bots? Are you building task modules? Are you building, what kinds of things are you building for your customers?
Sure, I'll start. So I would say predominantly it's all about tabs right now. I think that's sort of the gateway drug into Teams development. It's easy for anyone to understand. It's easy to develop. And as long as you just have a web application, you can convert that into a Teams application. Mm. And big of our focus, and some of our big clients right now have a lot of frontline workers, and it makes sense for them to have those kind of web applications that they have today integrated into Teams. So they have one application to start, one application to sign into. It makes that experience for those frontline workers seamless, and having that one application to install. And that now we can push these Teams applications out into their, they call it the bottom bar or sidebar mm-hmm. on the application, et cetera. So that's what I see what we're building right now. Predominantly, even though bots are fun, I think most clients want to have a bot, but that takes much more work to do. And it's really hard to get user adoption on those. But I would say tabs, super easy to get that adoption because you most likely have that kind of application, some shape or form, you're just converting it into a Teams application.
Are you seeing people doing, I mean, I know that you can build stuff for Teams using the SharePoint framework. Are you seeing people taking advantage of that a good bit with your tabs or not?
So I would say, I don't have any figures how much we do, but we do some SharePoint framework, but that's more if they have building sort of an intranet or whatever in SharePoint today, they might move some of those applications over. But if we're thinking about Teams, we don't start with SharePoint framework because that we get a lot of, I would say, side effects of using SharePoint framework. We don't have the server-side code. We need to use the Office UI Fabric and those kind of things. We can't use Stardust in the same way and get that switch between the high contrast themes and light, dark, as you said. Makes it much easier if we use a more native Teams app, if I can say native in that way.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I see both of them, but it depends on where we're coming from, if we already have a SharePoint implementation or not.
Okay. What about you, Paul?
So a little bit the opposite. So we're focused mostly on helping leverage with the AI world, right? And interacting with our users and getting them the best use they can out of the things that are available to them, either in their organization or in the Office 365 suite. So most of my time is spent on a bot and integrating with the various services that the bot framework can bring to the table. And very minimal work in the tabs. Mm-hmm. So, right? And obviously we've got some SharePoint components that are tied into the product suite as well, but we aren't necessarily doing a whole bit of Teams, one of everything in ours. It's mostly focused on the conversations.
Are the bots that you guys are building, are they like long conversations or are they usually short conversations? Like what kind of style do you see people using mostly?
Mostly short conversations. This in some scenarios we can kick off a process, but it's keeping a long running conversation with a bot can be difficult, and humans don't think that way as well. And it's just recent updates to the bot framework allow for interruptible conversations, if you will. And that bit has been kind of hard, but typically they're shortened and applying some organizational intelligence to what you're trying to accomplish and guide you on that path. And then at some point, we just go off and do your bit work for you and leave you of that problem, so to speak.
So some of the stuff that we had, I know that the Microsoft Teams team announced a couple of changes and stuff that came from that were being introduced to Microsoft Teams back at Ignite. And a lot of them were like administrative stuff and just end user features or just capabilities of the platform. But I mean, then there wasn't a ton of stuff that's, at least from my perspective, correct me if I'm wrong, but there wasn't a lot of dev stuff that was introduced. There were some pretty big changes. Both of you talked a little bit about bots, and it seemed like there was a very big change around that time. Maybe not so much within Teams for bots, but just around like the bot framework stuff. Do you know anything about this?
Yes. So a high level, right? So one thing they introduced was a thing called a bot composer, which was a drag and drop surface to do responses to interactions, which kind of is now what we're seeing with the AI builder, I think is what it's called in the SharePoint. So a little bit of that. There was some other work that they did around what they're calling a virtual assistant, which is really a starter kit or a solution or a template, if you will, of that I can say I want to create an assistant that does something. So here's some sample code and some guidance that you can go through to build one of these virtual assistants. And they did introduce this concept of skills. I had actually seen on a Stack Overflow request, someone's asking how, you know, the HR team has a bot and the IT team has a bot and accounting has a bot. Now I have to install 17 bots into my organization and that doesn't scale. And the skills concept would let you say, I have an assistant for my organization and I can delegate the task to different skills, kind of like an amalgamation of that. And so kind of how you can have your digital assistant say, Alexa, play SiriusXM radio, that's another skill. So a similar kind of concept around that. And then obviously they revved the bot framework SDK, which now includes the Teams pieces built into it. So there's one less thing one more package to add in it. But as Victor said, the Teams SDK is a little bit thin. But those are the big high-level things that they introduced there was really more around helping developers get a bigger, fuller picture, if you will.
How about you? Have you seen anything since Ignite that's like the big developer stuff that people would want to pay attention to?
So if we take a look from a developer side and not thinking about Teams extensions per se, I think what's happening in the graph. It's where we see the most innovation and new things happening. So we have all the communications APIs that are still in beta, but it's super interesting if you want to create those kind of interactive virtual assistants or bots that integrates with your audio and video streams and those kind of things in meetings. But also a lot of things on the provisioning side. And if you asked previously about what kind of stuff do you see we build on Teams, I would say that what we build most is those kind of provisioning solutions or sort of templating solutions, how to create, if we have a company and they want to create 1,000 teams looking the same with the same apps, et cetera, and those kind of things. We also seen that in the SharePoint PMP, the provisioning engine and schema now contains stuff for Teams as well. And that's thanks to we having it in the Microsoft Graph. So I think that's where the most of the stuff will happen. And I think that's in general for Microsoft 365 dev in general, right? Yeah. It's happening in the graph.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, having the single API, it does make things a heck of a lot easier to work with too, having it all in one spot.
Yeah, and another thing they have in beta is the presence APIs. And so you can envision a case now, maybe I want to just ask the bot to connect me with someone in accounting and the bot can then query, we know who's in accounting because we can inspect the graph and who's available and then send them a message or start a call or whatever the case. So they're getting some nice scenarios lit up there as well. But again, that's a graph and you can do that today without Teams, right?
Yeah. So I have a kind of off-the-wall question then. Like, so when you guys are building stuff for Teams, like, what are you doing it in? What are you building? I mean, are you Visual Studio? I know we'll talk about, like, Teams with the .NET side. Are you doing more, like, .NET-based stuff? I mean, because when you're doing stuff with bots, I mean, you're building a web service. You're registering that web service with the Microsoft bot framework and then associating it with Microsoft Teams. So the web service you're building, do you find it easier to work on the .NET side? You find it easier to work on the Node side? What are you guys using?
I totally adopted the Node side, the dark side, if you want to say it. But I think that's been convenient. First of all, it started like with something new, right? So, but now I'm all into Node and doing that kind of stuff. I haven't moved over to .NET Core as you have, Paul. but I think I'm using Visual Studio Code, the Yo Teams, as you mentioned, that's a generator for creating Teams applications or web applications. Mm-hmm. But it's all Node, server-side, client-side, and it makes sense for me. And the limited time I have actually doing development, I have one language to focus on.
That's the reason that Node was so appealing to me is I do a lot of client-side stuff. I do a lot of server-side stuff, and just using the exact same tool chain, tool set, language, all that stuff just from top to bottom, it made life easier for me.
Same domain models, server-side, client-side, et cetera. You know?
How about you, Paul?
Yeah, and I'm the opposite. I mean, but the Visual Studio has got a long history of things that they can do, and a lot of stuff, when you're working on a bot, there's no UI, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily need to worry about HTML and all those events. So a lot of having the infrastructure set up to connect into App Insights and monitor things that are happening in the code, as well as, you know, having multiple solutions. I know Visual Studio Code has workspaces, but I find this experience better in Visual Studio to have an API project and a front-end project and a couple of test things. And so, yeah, so that's, and plus old dogs, new tricks, so you can fill in the blanks there. So.
Well, it makes sense to me. That is one of the advantages of Visual Studio is being able to have multiple project types. When you spend the multiple processes, you can do it on the Visual Studio Code side, but you're going to have multiple editors up. You're going to have usually a command prompt with multiple tabs open and spinning up different processes. It's a little bit more by hand, but yeah, I mean, it's to each their own. That's the nice thing is that there's no, like, nobody has an advantage or a disadvantage over each other on those kinds of things.
And that's probably one of the good sides with Teams development as well. They're not enforcing a language or a way of building your stuff. You can do it. It's a web service or a web page or something. So you can do it however you want. If you want to do Python, by all means, go ahead.
Yeah, my sympathies, but yes. So let's talk a little bit about Yo Teams, because I know you're the main developer behind Yo Teams. I know it went into the Office Dev GitHub repo, so it looks like it's a Microsoft thing, but I know you still maintain it. We talked a little bit offline about or whatever. We won't go there, like, what the future of it is. Let me ask you, like, where do you... I saw, like, in the Gitter channel for this last year, you started to have a bunch of conversations with people on... So let's talk about, like, what's next with this and where do you want to go with it? So why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, what is the state of it today and what kinds of things would you like to see changes that are being that are made to it?
Yeah, cool. So it actually started at something. It started at SharePoint Saturday Munich a couple of years ago. I needed to do tabs faster for my demos. So that started out that way in learning the Yeoman generator, how that worked, etc. So scaffolding out the team's tab project. After that, they moved over to the sort of covering all of Teams, including templates for bots, etc. There are a Yeoman generator or template generator for bot framework, but I created my own that fits more into Teams, etc. So it took off from there. And the state of it right now, I think it is. My personal opinion here is it's a fairly stable release. There's of course things that needs to be worked on, etc. But people are using it. So I just checked the stats. So I had 13,000 NPM downloads, between 10 and 30 executions per day of running the actual generator, which I think is more than I expected of people building these kind of tools. And it's made my life easier and a lot of our teams as well. So we're using it internally for some of our projects at Avanade as well. So and makes it easy for them to build and scaffold the projects faster. But the whole idea, it is a scaffolding kind of mechanism where you then take it from there. There's a couple of things we need to do. Paul mentioned the bot framework 4.6, which is the latest incarnation. We need to update the solution to that.
Why is that important? Because I know we talked a little bit a second ago, but I didn't, as somebody who wasn't really privy and doing much stuff with bots until I got into it and started doing it, then I really appreciated why that's important.
Exactly. So it's not just because we want to upgrade the versions to the latest, but what happened is that the Teams SDK for bot framework never came out of beta, and they decided to in 4.6 to actually fold in the Teams SDK into the native bot framework. So that's why 4.6 is important, because that's the only general available actually SDK for Teams when it comes to bots. So for me, that's important.
Yeah, and I just want to inject that, right? So what that really means from a developer point of view, a bot in Teams is talking to the bot framework, but there are some additional things that Teams layers on top. Some of the actions that you can do with compose extensions or the task modules. And so the packet that gets sent to the bot framework has some additional data in there. And so the Teams SDK will deserialize that better for you than the bot framework one will. So it makes a perfect sense to say, yeah, we should just put it all into one SDK. And as Victor's mentioning, if you don't have that, that makes it a little bit harder. Do you want to parse JSON or you want someone else to do it for you?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it handles, and you would have to be like all the messages that come in, you have to look at every message type and every activity that comes in, every message type. And okay, where am I going to route this? Where instead now you can just implement your own method.
Yeah. Right. And the SDK will give you an enumeration of all those message activity types, whereas if you don't have the SDK, you're doing a string compare. So
Right.
We've been there.
Exactly. Yeah, the rest of the stuff we talked about, Stardust, that's still in beta and will be that for quite some time. I've moved to that for the latest beta release of YoTeams as well. So probably need to update that to the latest beta versions as well, but I think that's a way forward. And there's also lot of, I know you are really into Node and the actual development development tool change, and so there's a lot of feedback from the community as well, and I want every kind of help to get the tooling to be better, the solution to be better as well. And there's not just the tooling, there's a couple of NPM packages related to that, to specifically around compose extensions or messaging extensions, makes that work kind of easier as well. So we have the communications SDKs in Graph, etc., where I have an NPM library for that as well to create calling bots. So there's a lot of moving parts in here that I don't have time to finish and polish and discover all kind of scenarios. So any kind of help with that would be very much appreciated.
Well, and it's one of those, so it's a project that what I've been working on is a lot of the self-paced training modules for Microsoft Learning that Microsoft has asked me to build. And they're being used for the MS600, like M365 dev certification. And one of the decisions that the Teams team had when we started building the content, it's like, so what are we going to standardize on? Are we going to go Node? Are we going to go C#? Are we going to go Visual Studio, VS Code? Are we going to go Stardust? Are we going to go with the out-of-the-box stuff? And they're like, go with Node, go with VS Code. You hit the biggest audience. We can hit everybody that's not on Windows, but everybody that's not on Windows as well. And then we want to standardize on Stardust, which, nice little wrench thrown at us when all of a sudden they took Stardust, they renamed it, and they unpublished the library. But thankfully, that got fixed. So I know that a lot of the stuff that when in the modules that we wrote in the exercises, you know, one of the first steps is go create your project. You know, step two, if it's anything UI related, remove the old UI stuff and put Stardust in. And then step three, we're doing bot framework stuff. Okay, remove all of this stuff and then put this in instead. So those kinds of updates. Yeah. So would you put, I guess it sounds like it's three main classifications of things. It's like bot framework stuff that needs to be done, Stardust stuff that needs to be done. And then it's like just maybe project, I'm opinionated on how I like to do my dev. So I had some ideas and some feedback, but it's don't want to be pushing it like on everyone. And it was, you say you got the numbers that you had and people are creating projects today. With more of this content being pushed by Microsoft, I mean, we would expect to see more of it happening because people are doing the labs. I mean, they're going to be doing they're going to be using the same tool to do it. So,
and yeah. Also, one thing that I spent some quite some time on last fall as well, it was sort of making it easier to upgrade from one version of the generator to the next version. So I have an idea that you can run the generator again over another project to add additional stuff. Mm. But if you have an older version of the generator, so I need to do that upgrade seamlessly as well. So that took quite some time. So, but. We'll see how that go forward. Probably need to make a new major version and break some of the stuff. And there's a lot of history in there, why it's built in certain ways. When Azure, we had, there's one of the features in there, so you have an Azure push direct, so you can essentially push your project directly to Azure, and that has had some specific requirements on the package.json file, for instance, that no longer exists, but I haven't had time to go back and fix those kind of things. So
there's
just a lot of small things that we can do. But I think... there's a good audience out there. There are a lot of people helping and giving feedback, et cetera. So hopefully we can get better this year.
Where would you point people to give that feedback today if they wanted to work? If they were working
I would say on the GitHub, go to the issues list there and post either an issue, a real issue, or some proposals on what you would like to see in the product. And the URL for it is ak.ms/yoteams is the easiest way to get there.
Cool. I was going to give them a long URL. That's even better.
And what's interesting is if you look at the list of contributors on the generator, my name is on there just because I put in some comments and on documentation. So even if you run into it, you run into an issue or something doesn't look right, because I'm sure Victor has done a lot of work on the code. How often do you do the docs, right? It may be something falls through the track. So seriously, if you see anything, either open an issue or even do a PR on the docs, that's always appreciated, because someone's going to come along later and not understand why it's happening, and it's easy to forget those. So I always like to say, even if it's as simple as updating a word or two, it does help. So
exactly. And we also have a wiki in there, so where you can do a PR too as well if you want to add an article or something like that.
Yeah. If you want to learn, if you want to see like labs on actually using the generator too, then I'll make sure I put a link to it in the show notes. I don't know that link off the top of my head, but there's a handful. I think it's going to be up to about six or seven. Was it seven? Six. It'll be six different modules that we have for Teams development. So if anybody's familiar with the old Teams modules in the Office Dev /training GitHub repo, all the old ones are going to be retired by the end of the third quarter, and all the new ones are going to replace those. So it's all node-based for now. We've set it up to where we could definitely do everything on Visual Studio and .NET based, but there's hands-on labs with it, and there's screencasts associated with it too, so you can see how everything is done with the sample code and stuff. So you can see it, like, we don't have to have, like, labs and stuff on how to use Yo Teams. Like, it's already done for you. Microsoft pay for it.
And for those who aren't in the node space, right, any other old dogs out there.
That's where I was going to go.
Yeah, right. So in Visual Studio, there is the bot framework does have templates, so you can get a bot up and running really quick, and adding the Teams stuff into it is straightforward, right, once you get the SDK up. If you're on the current version of the SDK, it's already there. So it's pretty straightforward. The only trouble you might have with is manifest, because there's no manifest editor, but obviously run the generator and take the manifest file, or use the App Studio and then export that file, and can certainly do that. There's some links out there we can provide you that'll help you go through those steps as well. So it's certainly doable if you are in the old phase. And .NET framework, .NET Core supports all the bot framework stuff, so there's no reason to learn Node if you're under a pressure and you're comfortable in the .NET
Absolutely,
space.
Absolutely, I agree. And I've been harsh on the App Studio previously, but I think it has some very good use cases. Exactly as you said, there's create your manifest for the first time, but also it has links to the bot framework portal, registration portal, the connector registration portal, those kind of things.
I would just caution you can use that. It'll provision your Azure Active Directory application. It'll provision all kinds of stuff. Please export it and put the manifest in your source code repository. Yep. I don't know how many times I run people say, well, I don't know what I did, and now it works, and I'm afraid to touch it. So that's the only drawback, I think, is that you got to remember to export it.
And what I do as well is when I use it for when we have built SharePoint framework solutions. So, you know, I talked about that. You can build Teams applications with SharePoint framework, but that means that the SharePoint framework is somewhere automatically handling that Teams manifest for you. So you don't have the option to customize the title, description, those kind of things. Yeah. That's where I use App Studio. Then I just referenced the SharePoint framework solution in that one.
And we recently found a bug for that too in the SharePoint framework side. Your SharePoint framework project can have the length of the name isn't really limited, but in Teams, it's limited to 40 characters. So if you, or 30 characters, 30 or 40 characters. So if you go over that and you try and do that sync to Teams from your SharePoint framework one, it just tells you, sorry, failed. And it doesn't give you any indication as to why it failed. There's no like IntelliSense or anything where you're.
There's a reason I don't use the sync to Teams. I do my Teams application separately and manage that separately. And then it happens to be SharePoint framework solution sometimes.
Maybe going back to the beginning of our conversation, right? If you are doing something in Teams and most likely you, do you want it pushed to every team in your organization or is it more contextual or more focused? And so maybe the Teams app policy is a better way to deploy it instead of clicking the sync to Teams button. So and I think as you're getting more and more into it, you're going to want to do, you should know what's going on, right? Don't use all the magic buttons. Figure out what the buttons are doing and make sure it makes sense to you. So, but yeah, that's, I didn't know that length was an issue. I had heard
it's 100% agree. It's the same kind of things such as having the graph permissions in SharePoint framework in the manifest there. No, I don't need manually on the side instead.
I just
want better control, right?
Yeah. Well, you want better control. You need to understand how it, I mean, I watched another issue the other day where someone's like, I deployed it to SharePoint and then I synced it to Teams, but the sync to Teams button isn't enabled. I can't figure out why. It's like, how'd you install it? Well, I just went through and just installed it. Did you check the box where it says deploy it, automatically deploy it and make it available everywhere? I'm like, no, like, it's not going to work. Yeah. It's like, that's why. Mm-hmm. And they don't, but there's no, it doesn't, SharePoint is SharePoint focused. It's not Teams focused. Yeah. It doesn't give you all that kind of context about the edge cases. Yeah. So I agree with you. I like, the easy buttons are nice, but those easy buttons also can create the hard button problems that there is no easy button for the hard button problem. So.
Specifically for the type of customer we work with, and large enterprise customers. And so it's more than 10 users or 10 teams or whatever. So
Exactly.
Well, cool. Is there anything you guys want to share with our listeners before we break here? I mean, we cover a good bit of stuff here around Teams development. You
know, there's a new Teams development center in the docs.microsoft.com, whatever the URL is. And that's gotten much better, I've noticed, in the last 6 months or so. They've gotten a lot more information out there. And it's worthwhile to go through and click on the concepts node and read through all those things before you start writing code. I find that helps to understand what the Teams team is trying to approach, get to, and helps you develop it. So I know it's not what developers do. Someone would, generate code and kick the tires, but take a moment to read through. I think that'll be beneficial to you.
Yeah, that just got republished in November of 2019. It went out with Ignite, and that's where all the content we've been building for Microsoft Learn is supposed to be focused on those five main content section areas, but it does make it a lot easier to kind of follow how the content's done and everything is all updated and all fresh and everything. So it's much better.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea because when you start doing Teams development, we talked about tabs and bots here and mentioned messaging extension, but there's so many more things in Teams or extensibility like connectors, link unfurling, etc. So read through the docs and get an understanding of what you can do. Then you can go out to the customers and talk around that and hopefully get a good gig.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate you guys taking the time and sit down with me today.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find out about our show and grow the audience, and we would really appreciate it. If you got a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3 and provide a link to it so that we can play your question on the show. You can also subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts, in the Google Play Store, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading over to our website, microsoftcloudshow.com. You'll get notices of each new episode, as well as the show notes sent directly to you each week. We'll be back with another episode next week. Thanks for listening.